Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, Uncomfortable. It's safe to say that a lot of people are missing out on the only adventure that really counts in life, walking with God and carrying out His purposes here on earth. And a lot of times, that's because we love our comfort zone. I hope this message challenges and encourages you at the same time. Enjoy!
It happens way too frequently. Wouldn't you agree? Doesn't happen in a day. Doesn't happen in a week. Doesn't happen in a month. Doesn't happen many times in a year. But over time, a group of people who call themselves Christians can lose their way. Can drift and forget their purpose, their mission, their calling. Oh, they still meet and they enjoy one another and they do some good things. They're respectable, but there's no passion, there's no purpose. They exist. But they've lost the reason for why they exist. As the proverb writer would say, without that vision, they perish. They slowly die. They find themselves on a life support system, basically just existing. Not fulfilling the reason why they were given life or given birth, not investing in people and inviting people to a relationship with Jesus Christ, not sending anyone out, have basically become complacent or comfortable. And that can happen in any church. It can happen at New Point, of where we fall into the status quo, that really we're living by comfort instead of conviction. And so we're in this series. We're concluding today. By the way, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And whether you are a Christ follower or not, you're going to understand the reason for our existence. If you're not a Christ follower, you're going to understand why there are those who are very passionate about leaving their comfort zone and embracing the holy wild. Of moving from status quo to status go. We've been looking at a verse and Luke records the words of Jesus. By the way, he's the founder, okay? He's the one who gives life. He's the one who gives birth. And we're called to follow him. Here's what he said. If anyone, that means all of us, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're at today, if anyone wants to be my follower, so that includes all of us, you must give up your own way, your own way of thinking, your own way of doing things. And that leads us to a place of being uncomfortable. He says, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. Wow. You see, here's what I want us to get today, and it's this. Jesus has not only called us to build community, he's called us to reach our community. And so we have to understand that today. He's not only called us to live in community and serve in community, he's called us to share life with our community. And what I want to do is I just want to walk us through an encounter with Jesus, because he wants this encounter to happen to you today. And it will, if you're open. Mark records this, and I just want to walk us through it. And again, if you're not a Christ follower, you're going to understand why we do what we do, why we call people to sacrifice, why we call people to serve, why we call people to give their all. And so Mark records this, and here's what he says. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The time is fulfilled," means it's now. "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and Jesus is declaring his purpose. He's given us a vision. He's given us a way to follow. And he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, what does that mean? We have to understand that if we're going to be able to follow him. And so what is the kingdom of God? That's a good question, because the kingdom of God is constantly talked about in the New Testament. Matter of fact, Jesus would say it like this, that if we know him, the kingdom of God is in you. It dwells in you. And Paul knew this, the Apostle Paul, and he wrote about it a lot. And Paul gives us a description of what the kingdom of God is. And here's what he says. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." What's he talking about here? He's talking about that when the kingdom of God enters your life or in my life, three things will be evident. He says, first of all, righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means that you will come into right relationships. The kingdom of God is at hand. That means that now you and I can have a right relationship with God. We can know him as Father. Maybe the Father that you never had. One who provides, one who protects. And so he says, the kingdom of God, what is it? It's righteousness. It's right relationship. And when the kingdom of God comes into your life or my life, then what happens is it enables you and I to be in right relationship with God. And you ready for this? Right relationship with one another. So how do you know when you're living in the kingdom of God? You're in right relationship with God, and you're in right relationship with those around you. And then he says this. He says, the kingdom of God is not only righteousness in right relationship with God and right relationship with other people, but he says that the kingdom of God is peace. That you experience peace in your life when the kingdom of God comes. Because you're in right relationship with God, you're in right relationship with people. Now, what is peace? Let me tell you what peace is. Confidence and rest in the wisdom and the sovereignty of God more than your own. Y'all okay? Do you know anybody who needs peace? Let me ask you this question. Do you have peace? See, Jesus said, "I will give you peace that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away, that eating and drinking won't give you." Comfort food. Comfort drinks. He says the kingdom of God is not that. And he says the kingdom of God is righteousness. You'll be in right relationship with God, right relationship with one another, and you'll experience peace. Now, what's the opposite of peace? You got to get this, my friends, okay? The opposite of peace is anxiety and worry. Do you know anybody whose life is filled with anxiety and worry? They're not experiencing the kingdom of God. Not in all of its fullness. You got a neighbor, got a coworker. Got a son, got a daughter, got a mom, got a dad. And yet what happens is people try to experience peace. And the counterfeit to peace is indifference. You see any indifference in our world today? Oh, I don't care.
Apathy, not caring. I just don't care anymore. You know why? Because you're trying to find peace, because if you did care, then what happens is it would bring anxiety and worry to you. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Right relationship with God, right relationship with one another. And what happens is the kingdom of God is peace. Know anybody that needs to experience the kingdom of God? Then he goes on to say the kingdom of God is joy. Wow. Joy. What's joy? It's a delight in God and his salvation. You know what that means? There's a gladness. There's a joy. There's a deep, deep joy in one's life. What's the opposite of joy? The opposite of joy is hopelessness and despair. You know anybody who feels that way? Do you feel that way? I just feel hopeless. Suicide is on the rise. Why? Because people feel hopeless. Their life is filled with despair. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy, a deep delight in God, knowing he's God, knowing that he loves me. What's the counterfeit to joy? Happiness that comes from circumstances. Let me say it to you this way. It's mood swings that are based on circumstances. If everything's going my way, if everybody's following my plan, if everybody's doing what I want, then guess what? I'm in a good mood. If not, I don't have joy. Jesus is saying, he's making this announcement. He's making this announcement to you and me today. The kingdom of God is fulfilled. It's here. It's now. It's about righteousness. It's about right relationships. It's about peace that surpasses all understanding. It's about joy that gives us strength. And then he goes on and tells us how to experience this kingdom of God. How do we experience it? Well, he says this, repentance. He says, repent. Now listen, we think of repentance as a dirty word. This is not a dirty word. Repentance basically means to change one's way of thinking. It means that I'm headed in this way and I need to repent. I need to go in this way. I need to change my thinking. And so he's saying, hey, the kingdom of God is here, but you need to repent. Why? Because you don't think about God right. You don't think about yourself right. And you'll never experience right relationship. You'll never experience peace and joy unless you do that. And so what we have to understand is repentance means a change of thinking about God, that he's not mad at you. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Got to change your way of thinking about God. And you got to change your way of thinking about yourself, that you were made for and created for God. And that, you know what, you'll never experience satisfaction in life until you come into that relationship. And so Jesus is saying, hey, the kingdom of God is here. You want to have the kingdom of God? You want to have righteousness? You want to be in right relationship with people? You want to be able to experience peace and joy? Then you got to repent. Got to change the way in which you think. Stinking thinking won't work. You got to change it. And he says, so you have to change how you think about God. You got to get a right view of God. You got to change how you think about yourself. That he sees you as precious and valuable. And then he says, believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the resurrection. Jesus is saying, you got to believe the gospel. And the gospel is this: I have come to be the sacrificial lamb. I have come to die for your sins so that you can experience righteousness, so that you can experience peace, and so that you can experience joy. You got to believe the gospel. The gospel is referred to as good news. The good news is I can be in right relationship with God and with the people around me. The good news is I can have a deep sense of peace, even in a troubled world. The good news is I can have joy, not based on circumstances, but based on the character of God, that He loves me and that He cares for me. You know anybody who's interested in that? See, Paul writes this. He says, if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing His power, His authority and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, resurrection, you will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll have a right relationship with God. You'll be saved from relationship dysfunction. You'll be saved from anxiety and worry. You'll be saved from hopelessness and depression. Salvation, freedom. And so Jesus makes this announcement. And He just kind of continues to walk because there's people following Him. And Mark goes on to say this: and as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Here's what you need to realize. Listen, He said, if you follow Me, I will make you into something special and specific. He didn't say, I'll make you more disciplined. He didn't say, I'll make you more religious. He didn't say, I will make you more astute in your theology. What He said is, if you'll come and follow Me, you're going to experience the kingdom of God. You're going to experience righteousness. You're going to experience peace. You're going to experience joy. And you know what? If you will follow Me, I will make you fishers of men, so that what happens is you can share with other people what you yourself have experienced deeply in your being. And guess what? They wanted it. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. I'm in. It's what I've been looking for. This is what I want. I'm tired of frustration. I'm tired of low living. I want this. Man, if you can give this to me, I want it. You know what? I've got family and friends who need this. And so Mark goes on and says this: when he had gone a little bit further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after Him. Wow. Now, as I look at this, I'm thinking, boat means how I make a living. He's calling them out of their what? Their comfort zone. They left their boat. They left their way of making a living. And you know what? They weren't failing. They were successful fishermen. It's one thing to be called out of your failure. And many of us come to Christ that way, right? Life is just terrible, and we're at our end's rope. These guys weren't. These guys were knocking it out of the park. They were successful fishermen, and He called them out of their comfort zone. He called them out of their familiarity. Said they left their boats and they left their father. What's their father? Significant relationships. You want to get uncomfortable? Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father, you can't follow Me. Y'all right? That means if I'm not first in your life, You can't follow me. You're not following me. You're probably religious, but you're not following me. What does it mean to hate your mother and father? It's not this. I can't stand you. Okay, it's not that. Hey, mom, hey, dad, have you ever done the right thing for your son and daughter and they didn't like it? And they say, mommy, you don't love me. Daddy, you don't love me. What are they saying? If I'm not the sinner, you don't love me. And Jesus says, you know what? As long as somebody else is the center of your life, you're not following me. See, here's what we have to understand. Jesus came to confront, not to comfort. And I know that that bothers some of us. Okay? Jesus came to confront, not to comfort. And here's what we have to understand, okay? And I'm going to help you a whole lot here, okay? To understand your relationship with someone, you have to understand the function of that relationship. Or you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be angry, you're going to be hurt, you're going to be confused. Let me help you with that. I had a consultant come in one time, and he spent 2 days with me, and I understood his function. His function was to make me better. And so at the end, I'll never forget this. We're sitting across the table. He's drinking Coke, eating peanuts, has a few candy bars in front of him. He's about my size. He says, Dwight, you need to do 2 things. You need to shave that mustache, and you need to lose 30 pounds. At first, I was offended because I wanted to say, hey, buddy, have you looked in the mirror lately? Who are you telling me that I need to lose 30 pounds? But see, what happened is, what was going on is, the relationship wanted to take me down a path of dysfunction. But I had to be brought back and understand the function of that relationship. The function of that relationship was this: not for him to compare himself with me or me with him. The function of that relationship was for him to speak into my life and tell me the truth, regardless of where he was. Let me give you another illustration. You know what? I love my kids. I got 4 great kids. But we have an understanding. I'm not their buddy. I'm their father. I hope we're friends, but that's not my main function. My main function is not to be their friend. My main function is to be their father. And if they don't understand that function, if I don't understand that function, then guess what? We're constantly like this. We're constantly like this. I see it in the workplace. I mean, people say, hey, Dwight, do I need to call you pastor? No, you can call me Dwight. I'm cool with that. But you need to realize that first and foremost, I'm the senior leader of the church, more than I am your friend. And so if you think I'm going to make decisions based on our friendship, hello, you're going to be frustrated and angry and mad at me, because that's not the function of our relationship. You understand? The function of the relationship is I'm the senior leader, and I have a role to play. See, what happens is, so often with Jesus, we think that his function with us is to comfort us. His function is to confront you and me, and I'm going to show it to you here in a moment. And it is to call you and I out of our comfort zone. If any man come after me, he must give up his own way and take up his cross. You see, the greatest enemy of faith is not fear. The greatest enemy of faith is familiarity. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, what happens is, we love familiarity. As long as we are comfortable in our situation, we don't need God. See, I don't know about you, but fear drives me to God. When I happen to be fearful, it drives me. God, I need you. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I don't know what I'm going to do. But familiarity keeps me stuck. Because why would I want to change? I'm comfortable. I'm good. So Jesus, his main role is to confront us. Let me show it to you. Mark goes on to say, and they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and talked. This is Jesus. He was the guest speaker. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. See, the scribes did not have the kingdom of God within them. They had religion. Mark goes on, because now Jesus had said to Peter, James, and John, he says, hey, come, I'm going to make you into fishermen. I'm going to tell you how this works. Look what happens here. He says, now there was a man in their synagogue. I would assume that he was a regular attender. Okay? There was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Let me help you with that, okay? Are there demons? Absolutely. Are there evil spirits? Absolutely. Are there unclean spirits? Absolutely. We don't really call them that. You know what we call them? Dysfunctions. Because what happens is when you're either being influenced by good or you're being influenced by that which is evil. Good influences you towards righteousness and peace and joy. The evil influences you towards the dysfunction. And we like our dysfunction, don't we? Sure, because it makes us feel comfortable. You say, how do you know? How do you know that we like our dysfunction? Because what happens is we don't always like what we reap from it, but we like how it makes us feel. Say, what do you mean? Well, when you criticize somebody, you feel good, right? Whenever you criticize somebody, you always feel better because you're looking down on that person. And that's a dysfunction. That's the Bible says that the evil one is the accuser of the brethren. And so Jesus comes to this synagogue, and a man there has an unclean spirit, and he cries out saying, let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? See, here's the thing. The demonic world is more astute to who Jesus is than the Christian world. Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Mark continues, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. Come out of him. And that's what Jesus calls for you and me. He calls the dysfunction out of my life and out of your life. Because it doesn't lead to peace. It doesn't lead to joy. It doesn't lead to right relationships. You see, the unclean spirits that want to influence you and me, they're there to disrupt us, discourage us, defeat us, depress us, deceive us. That's why they're there. And he says, be quiet, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now look at this, okay? And they all were amazed. Why? Because now he was in his right mind. Now he was relating different to the people there. They were amazed, so they questioned among themselves, who is this? What new doctrine is this? For with what authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And it says here, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. You see, listen to me. When somebody experiences the kingdom of God and they get in right relationship with God and right relationship with people and they begin to experience peace and joy, guess what? Listen what happens. You know what happens? It makes the news. People say, what happened to Bob? What happened to Mary? That they're not the same man. They're not the same woman that they used to be. See, here's what we have to understand. Jesus went into Capernaum. Capernaum was the place in where Jesus had his ministry. It was based. But it's also, if you'll read through the gospel, it was a place of where he rebuked Capernaum. And Matthew tells us this. Here's what he says. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had gone, where he had done so many what? Of his miracles, because they hadn't repented. That meant that they hadn't changed the way in which they were thinking about God and about themselves, of their sins, and turned to God. And here's what he says, okay? He lists three cities, and one of them is Capernaum. And here's what he says. He says, and you, people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No. You will go down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in the wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. Wow. You know what he said? You see, Capernaum, the meaning of Capernaum is village of comforter. I lived among you. I did 22 miracles in your town, and you never repented. You never changed your way of thinking. You remain comfortable. And if I would have done that in Sodom, they would have repented. They would have changed their ways. They would have changed their thoughts. They would have turned their course. Could that be true of you? Could that be true of me? That we love our comfort more than we love our Christ? That all the things that Christ has done for you and for me, that we're still hanging on to the familiarity of life? We're not willing to risk. We're just status quo. Huh? Y'all okay? You see, this is what Jesus has to say to us. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He says, follow me and I will make you into something. I will make you fishers of men. Why? Why fish? Why fish? Because the message of salvation, the message of hope that's found in Jesus Christ is not intuitive. It's not an intuitive message. It must be explained. Nobody's going to sit underneath a tree and say, oh, you know what? I need to be forgiven of my sins. We're not going to come to that acknowledgement on our own. It's not intuitive because it started with an event, and that event was the resurrection. And so guess what? We are called to follow Jesus. And how do you know if you're following Jesus? You're a fisher of men. You're a fisher of people. If you're not fishing for people, if you're not wanting to introduce people to the kingdom of God, that they can have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with their family and friends, and they can experience a peace that surpasses all understanding and joy that gives them strength, then listen to me. I want you to know I love you, okay? Some of you get mad at me, and that's okay. That's good. Because Jesus came to confront. And when you get mad at me, basically what it may be, basically means is that there's probably an unclean spirit wanting to influence you. And you all right? And Jesus is wanting to say, no, 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 no. I want that gone. I don't want that to influence your thinking. I don't want that to influence your behavior. That's why what we would say at New Point, this is a safe place to hear a dangerous message. And so Paul, who tells us about the kingdom of God. He says this, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of what? Of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What is that? Being a fisher of man. Of saying, you know what? I'm going to introduce the kingdom of God to the people around me. I'm going to invest in them and I'm going to invite them into this kingdom of God of where they can be made right with God and he gives us the ability to live right with one another. And I can have this peace and I can have this joy. And so what's on the line? What's on the line? It's this. Everybody spends forever somewhere. We never want to forget that here at New Point. Why do we do what we do? Because it's easy? No. It's the hardest thing that anybody could ever do. We do this because God has called us. Jesus has called us out of our comfort zone. Jesus has said, you know what? You must give up your way of thinking. Dwight, you look for places of comfort, but I haven't called you to live a comfortable life. I have a calling on your life, and he has a calling on every one of us. And so here's our responsibility. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That means make him first place. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You see, listen, he's not asking you to be a theologian. Jesus didn't say, I've come to make you more astute in your theology. Jesus didn't come and say, hey, I came to make you more religious. He didn't even say, I've come to make you a better speaker. He said, I've come to make you a fisher of men. And that what happens is when you experience the kingdom of God in your life and the peace and joy, guess what happens? People's going to ask you about it because that's what they want. That's what they're looking for. That's what they desire. And he says, just be ready to give the reason of hope. You know why? Jesus. Jesus makes life better, and he makes me better at life. And Pete says this, but do this with gentleness and respect. So here's what I want to leave you with. You are uniquely positioned to reach somebody. And if you're following Jesus, you're fishing for him. You're looking for opportunities. You're investing. And you're inviting, even though it makes you uncomfortable. You're willing to risk embarrassment. You're willing to risk rejection. You're willing to risk uncertainty. You're willing to risk all of it because what is at stake? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we don't want to be a groupie. We don't want to be one who follows from a distance. We want to be up close and personal. And there's nothing more special and significant than being able to introduce people to the kingdom of God. That they can be right with you. They can be right with themselves. They can be right with their spouses. They can be right with their kids. They can be right with mom and dad. They can be right with their coworkers. And they can experience peace. And they can experience joy. God, forgive me. Forgive us for forgetting our mission, our purpose. And that is to be fishers of men. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.